I purposely did not undertake to do something that would have anything to do with the election because the truth of the matter is, with our country and the position that it's in, we really don't, even though they are telling us what they think the answers are, we really don't even know what's going on. And they don't either. That's part of the problem. But I do intend to, next time, one of two choices of things that, and I don't know whether you all do this, but I get to reading or looking at something in the Bible and I think, well, this applies to that, and then I get to going off thinking about that going on in our country, and then I look at something else, and this applies to that. And so I really have two lessons that I'm working on for the next couple of lessons. One is a confrontation, and I want to look at how Christ confronted the public and how he was confronted. But I want to preface that with what a little bit of explanation about what confrontation would mean in our country under our laws and what we ought to be thinking about and what we have a right to do under our laws. So preface that confrontation study with the discussion of how we ought to handle a confrontation by the government or agencies or people that confront us on the streets, particularly about the governmental activities and then anything else, but then also how Christ dealt with the confrontation and how we perhaps should follow in his footsteps. The other thing is that I have been looking at is our Bible mentions some other gods, Ishtar, Baal, Molech. And I want to look at our election, discuss and suggest what of these gods have to do with our election. Or do they have anything to do with the election results? Anyway, both of them challenge my mind. So anyway, I've been reading on it and probably should have spent more time preparing for this evening than, instead of studying those other topics. But anyway, what I've prepared this evening is imitating Christ's communion Father. The word is not used much in the Bible, communion. Just don't find it much. Maybe about 5 to 6 places total in the Bible that the word's even used. And one of those places is Paul's term. Paul uses the term in 1 Corinthians 10:16 through 17. And I'll read that. This is 1 Corinthians 10:16 and 17. The cup of the blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Now here Paul is just referring to the communion as the Last Supper. Well, I wanted to suggest that the word communion is taken that way because Paul, and it's in the dictionary that way because Paul has said that in these verses. But communion really has some other meanings, and I want to look at those meanings. We are talking about... We're not talking about the Last Supper when we're talking about communion with God. That's part of it, but that's not all of it. To commune or communion. the dictionary definition. To exchange thoughts and feelings. That's the dictionary definition. So this is to exchange our thoughts and feelings. Number two is to be in accord. That really kind of comes into play because that's part of what communion is with God, and that's part of what Christ's communion was with God. And we'll see that as we go through this. And three is to receive communion, i.e., the Last Supper. Well, that's there because of Paul's statement in the Bible. Well, how does it differ from conversation? Conversation, simple conversation, is the spoken exchange of ideas, opinions, and thoughts and feelings. Oh, that's the same. It appears that way. The second definition is informal of conversation, is informal discussions. Well, that kind of gets it down on the plane of our over the backyard fence type thing, maybe, or just informal meetings that we have. And the third definition is computer conversations. And they take place in real time interactions with one computer with another computer, and that's some sort of conversation according to the dictionary. Well, what about communication? Is this communion different than communication? Communication, the dictionary definition, is the act of transmission of ideas. Well, sort of, but we're talking about transmission of them, of spreading the word, or some sort of passing the message on. Number two definition is the exchange of ideas or messages or information. We're right back to kind of the same thing. We're talking about a communion. The system, and the number three definition is system of sending messages, ideas, or feelings. Trying to suggest that maybe the word communion is more than just a conversation, a simple conversation. It's a relation with an extra special person, God. There's an appreciation of each other when we're talking in our normal conversations with each other. And I can think of some of the people that I have conversations with. I mentioned one last Sunday or last Wednesday, Bo Morrison, and every time we get on the phone, it's a three-hour conversation. And the truth of the matter is we don't think alike at all, but we think the same way. We try to think the same things through. We come up with different solutions. We have different backgrounds. And as I mentioned, she was of a different belief in some respects than my was with regard to our God. But still loyal to whatever she believed at the time. So, we can get together on the phone and talk about these things. We cannot talk for several months and then start up right where we were before. I don't think that that men normally have that quality, that they do that like the women do. I can remember my wife listening to the girls. They would call, and they would get me on the phone, and I would, quick as I could, hand the phone off to Judy. She would listen, and she would get off the phone and in 3 seconds tell me the whole message of the whole telephone conversation. I never could understand that. But it's something I've had to learn. I've had to learn with my daughters because now there isn't. Ruth is very good about talking with them when they call, but there isn't somebody I can hand the phone off. Family. The original family. So I have had to learn to listen, 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 And I told her this. If I hear the word anyway, and anyway. I told her this, but anyway, she says it. So this is kind of a personal relationship that we have with each other. We talk like this, and we have that sort of affinity for one another. We're talking about a communion with God. That's different. See, he's more special than just because God. He's our Creator. And we start talking with Him and having a communion with Him, a conversation and discussing the ideas and sort of kind of have some different attitudes about it. I'm reminded in the early days of my practice, the federal government required that all lawyers represent defendants in criminal cases for free. That was a way to get criminals lawyers that couldn't afford them, and they appointed a burglary to me, and I had to represent the guy, and I talked to him, and he was playing cards, he said, clear across town from where this burglary took place. I said, you're playing cards? And he gave me the names of 11 people that were playing cards there, and I went to the trouble and got a notary public, and I went and visited all 11 of those people, some of the parts of towns that I wouldn't have ever gone in or known about if it hadn't have been their address. Got affidavits from every one of them, said, oh yes, he was there playing cards. The case went to trial, and I notified my client that all those witnesses had to be there. One 10-year-old little boy. See, because when you raise your hand and swear before God, that's different. I know some of those people weren't Christians, but this swearing before God, something special, different. That's serious stuff, even though I don't think some of those people were ever believers or were believers. But it's serious stuff. And so when we start talking about communion with God, we're talking serious stuff. Well, is it sort of like the police come up and ask you a bunch of questions? Even though you haven't done anything wrong, they ask you a bunch of questions. Do you talk to them the same way that you would? Well, you see, the police aren't necessarily always your friend, particularly if you've done something wrong. So how you discuss with the police might be different than the way you would discuss it with God. You see, God forgives you, even though you've done something wrong. I'm not so sure the police will. So, God's just different. Different communion, different communication. All people are different. God knows that, and so God, you see, deals with us in different ways. And the way He communicates with one person may be different than He deals with another. He tells Jonah to go to Nineveh, and Nineveh, he just doesn't think he will do, so he gets in trouble and gets in a whale. He tells Elijah to rest and go hide. Now, I don't understand, but you see, if he told me to go rest and hide, and I'm thinking I'm supposed to be doing some good, then I might be saying, why are you telling me rest? What do I need to rest for? We are looking at an intimate relationship with Christ if we are in communion with the Father. And we need to examine what Christ did, Christ's manifestation of communion with God. So I'm going to turn to Matthew. You all know these, but anyway, I'm going to turn to them anyway. Matthew 26, 39. Matthew 26, 39. This is Christ's first prayer with regard to the coming crucifixion that he knew was coming up. And he went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." But you see, right off the bat, even though he's, as in other places said, he's co-equal, he is saying, "I will be obedient." That's what he's saying. If it won't pass, I'll still be obedient. And then he goes to the Matthew 26:42. And he went away, and again the second time he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, then thy will be done." And he's again saying, I will be obedient. In 44. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. So what we see is his communion with God is being obedient to his Father. But you say, North, that's not discussing ideas. That's prayer. It's just prayer. That's not communion. That's not talking over ideas and discussing those ideas. Well, it is one part, one side of the communion. God telling him his will, his wishes, his thoughts, his ideas. But it's not really conversation. It's kind of one-sided. We don't know what God told Christ in that communion. He did talk to Christ in those, and we don't really see or maybe know what God told him. But he did say he would be obedient. And I want to turn here to John 5, 19 and 20. John 5, 19, 20. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son could do nothing unto of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. And for what things whosoever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." So Christ is bent on doing what God is asking him to do. Well, still, kind of one-sided. We really don't know always what God says to him. So what is communion? Communion is a two-party relationship. Communion is an extra special relationship. It grows as the parties continue the communion on a daily basis. It is a discussion. It is an exchange of ideas. And it does include prayer. But that's our. So what does God say? Well, God tells us in the Word, Romans 15, 4 and 6. Or Romans 15, 4 and 4 through 6. For whosoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now God of patience and of consolation grant you to be like-minded toward another according to Jesus Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Christ. So, God's God's Word, Bible, God's Word. He publishes the book so that we get communication from Him. Now, we may get communication from the Holy Spirit that indwells us, and He may put indication and ideas in our thought. And I can tell you that I can lay awake at night working on something that I needed to do for the court, and I could lay awake. Do I put this guy on the witness stand, or do I not? It's the horns of a dilemma. Either way you go, he's not a good witness, doesn't look like he's telling the truth, but he is telling the truth. I've been able to verify, do I do or do not? I could wrestle with that for hours. And I'd ask God, just give me the way to go on this. Help me. Make up my mind. And so the man that told me 49 million times the light was green gets on the witness stand and says the light was red. So it is not always, I didn't always get the answers, and I didn't always do what was probably the best thing to do, even though I kept trying to ask and get well, I have my handy-dandy little book, and in the front of this it says, Happy Valentine's Day. I love you. Promises for Life. The author is the publisher company. And in the front of this book, it suggests that scholars, biblical scholars, tell them that there's 37,000 promises of God in the Bible. Now I know God's big, but that's a lot of promises. A lot of promises. And if He made them, I think I know that God knows them all. He knows everyone He made because He tells us He's faithful. My good friend and Bible teacher, Roy Zook, was good on statistics like this, and he would give a lesson like we're doing here, and he would tell us how many times the Word was in the Bible, how many times the Word was in this chapter, how many times it was in the Old Testament, how many times it was in the New Testament, how many times it was in the Old Testament. So I thought, well, maybe I can find out from his writings how many promises there are in the Bible. Just an estimate or something close to verify that this little book that was published by these publishers was right. I tried and tried, couldn't find it. So, anyway, you know, just thinking, let's suppose there are 37,000 promises in the Bible. Let's suppose that you committed to read one a day. And my math is very poor. The reason I'm not an engineer, but a lawyer. Calculates out to be something like 128 years to read all 37,000 promises. So let's assume God only did 30,000. Still about 120 years. All of them. Well, let's just say he only did 1,000. 4 years. Read one every day. So have you been doing it? You've been reading one of God's promises every day? That's the way He communicates with you. That's the way He communes with us. And that's part of the communion. So, I read that promise, then I pray. Prayer. That special communion. With Isaiah, God told him to go rest. He would feed him. Jonah, he told him to go to Nineveh. God's promises are for everyone. There may be some that are conditional promises, such as Galatians 3:26. Just a real short one sentence verse. For ye are all the children of God by the faith in Christ Jesus. If you have faith in Christ Jesus, and he calls you the children of God. It's a promise he made. Conditioned, because you've got to have faith. Being faithful is being committed to God. As the Father, Son was to the God, Father. Tony Evans, in his work, in one of his books, wrote, Not one significant work in our day that has been the product of miracle working. Not one. I don't know whether that's true or not, and I'm not going to try to verify it. But perhaps God is saying to us, before I can ask you to minister to others, are you reading the promises? Are we reading the promises? Am I reading the promises? No matter what is going on in this world, we should be and we should stand to be committed to Jesus. We should be standing to be committed for God. We should be praying our prayers. Prayers. We're in communion with God. For us, our prayer should be, what is your will? How we have committed whole. Type of communion more than a conversation between my daughters and I, more conversation with friends, more serious, more important, more involved as we're dealing with our Creator God. And it's our duty, really our pleasure, carry on this communication. Because you see what's going on in our world right now. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Maybe the end times, like Mike says on Sunday, is maybe worse. And they're talking about serious, horrible, awful things on the radio. They do everything they can to create and put fear in us about the loss of food, the loss of all of these things, the fertilizer, the food, the chickens. They are putting all of that information in our head, creating fear. Our posture, no matter what happens, no matter what happens, if we're in prison, like Mr. Andrew Brunson, if we're in prison, we are accused at the front door of doing something wrong. Wherever we are and whatever is taking place, we are in communion with God, have the peace, rest, have what God wants us to have. Are we doing that? Am I doing that? I pray so. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings of life itself, for the provisions you make for us, and for the wisdom you give us. We thank you, Father, for the ability to try to think things through and to ask you questions through prayer and our communications with you and through the Holy Spirit. We seek to know what you would have us do. We pray, Father, that we do that, and that we be obedient, and that we seek to have a good time of communion with you every day. Every day. Because you see, Father, if we are not in communion with you and our minds are filled with things other than what's in your word, and other than things that you and I discuss, our minds can easily be filled the things of other people, evil, wisdom, gods that we don't want to be involved with. And so, Father, we pray that we seek you, that we commune with you, that we talk with you, we seek your will, we seek your ideas, we read your word, because that is your expression. What's right, meet, and proper, and what we should be doing. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity. Pray now for the choir that meets here in a few minutes. We pray these things in Christ's name.